This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to Lessons in Fiqh. Again, we're still studying the book or the chapter that deals with the nullifications of ablution, of al-wudu. And the hadith we have before our hands is hadith of Anas ibn Malik. I believe that Brother Fadi or Brother Muhammad, go ahead.
Narrated Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had blood extracted from his body and offered the prayer and did not perform a new ablution.
Okay, now this hadith has been graded as weak by Ad-Darqutni. And nevertheless, the meaning is authentic and correct, which is that blood coming out of your body due to a wound or due to your own doing, this process is called cupping. Hijama is called or known as cupping, which is extracting the blood from the back of the neck or from the shoulders or from certain areas in the body, and it relieves the body from lots of the poisons in it. It is medically known, and it is medically proven to help people. And the Prophet ﷺ did it, and he instructed us to do it. And he also told us that if the cure were to be in anything, it would be in the slice of the cupping, you know, the wounding of the person doing the cupping, or in some honey. Honey is also a very excellent cure, or by burning parts of the flesh with a hot metal, and this is also well known, yet it is not quite recommendable, but it's a form of medication. The Prophet ﷺ did the cupping. Of course, our subject is not cupping, but before a person makes cupping, hijama, there are certain days that he should only do the hijama in, such as the 17th, 19th, and 21st of every lunar month, and there are days he should prevent, stay away from, he should not have intercourse the night before, so many things attached to it. Our subject is whenever blood comes out, either because of a wound, or even if you donate blood, as a lot of people do, they donate blood, then again, you don't have to perform ablution. Some scholars say, well, yes, you have. And that is why Ibn Hajar, the compiler of the book Bulugh al-Maram, mentioned this hadith here. Just to tell you that if you hear someone saying, if you have a wound, if you bleed, then you have to perform ablution, don't jump to conclusions and say you are innovating, you're doing this, you're doing that. No, he has an evidence, though this evidence is not authentic, as in the case of Aisha's hadith where the Prophet said, and the hadith is weak, as we mentioned, if someone vomits or bleeds through his nose or has a discharge of madhi, then he should do this and that. We mentioned this a couple of programs ago, and it's not authentic, so we should not follow it. Any questions regarding cupping, regarding performing ablution after bleeding?
Regarding cupping, you asked. I know it's a little bit off topic, but how come someone's not allowed to have sexual intercourse the day before performing cupping? Like, if it's so easy performing cupping the next day,
it's not a matter of not allowed. The Prophet said that it's not preferable and recommendable. Apparently, it has to do with the medical science. And I think that they would prove that it would weaken the person's ability to go ahead with the cupping. This is something that is found in the books of jurisprudence and fiqh. So we just mention it as it is. But what's the wisdom of it? We need a physician, a practitioner that knows what he's doing, and he could tell us this. And in my country, and in lots of places worldwide, the cupping process is becoming a regular thing. Now, doctors are recommending that you do it from every 4 to 6 months. And it relieves a lot of the migraine that people has, reduces the blood pressure, the high blood pressure, and it has lots of benefits. And we do not need the medical reports to back this up. We have the Prophet's sunnah and instructions to do it, so we do that. I think we should move to the following hadith, hadith number 75.
Narrated Muawiyah, may Allah be pleased with him. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the eye when awake is the string of anus to stop air escaping. And if the two eyes sleep, the string is untied. Reported by Ahmad and the Tabarani, who added, whoever sleeps should perform ablution. Also reported by Abu Dawood, mentioning the above addition without the words, the string is untied. But both versions are weak. And Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with them, narrated in a traceable hadith that ablution is necessary for one who sleeps while he is lying flat.
Now, all these hadiths and versions are weak. So we don't have to go into details explaining them, though the meaning is correct. The Prophet ﷺ gives us an example. If someone has a pouch where you keep your money, your jewelry, or what valuables, you usually tie it with a leather string. So it is tight and nothing can escape. So the Prophet tells us that the eyes are the leather string to the anus. So whenever your eyes are open, the string is tight and nothing can escape. You cannot pass wind without realizing it. But the minute a person falls asleep, then the string is loose. And then things could go out without you feeling it. So this hadith tells us that sleeping is one of the things that nullifies wudu. If you fall in deep sleep, you have to perform wudu. You cannot sleep and wake up and say, I guess I did okay. Nothing went out. Nothing passed without my knowledge. No. If you fall in deep sleep, you have to perform wudu again. The following hadith.
Narrated Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him. Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Satan comes to one of you in prayer and blows air in his bottom. So he imagines that he released air, yet he did not. So if he gets that feeling, he should not leave his prayer unless he hears the sound of the air or smells its odor.
Okay, again, this hadith reiterates what we've mentioned earlier on when we started talking about things that nullifies one's ablution. Now, Satan comes in and he blows in one's bottom while prostrating, while performing salah, so that he would feel that something came out, while actually nothing came out. So the Prophet tells us, do not abandon your salat until you smell something or you hear something, as in that previous hadith we've mentioned a while ago. Now, you have to be careful for the tricks of Satan. Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran told us not to follow his steps. Satan never comes to you directly and tells you, commit adultery. He never tells you, steal a bank. He comes to you bit by bit. He tells you, watch this movie. Listen to this song. Look at that lady. Talk to her. Approach her. Hit on her. Maybe you you'd score or something. And step by step, he tries to pull your leg until you are in the swamp of sin. وَلَعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. Likewise, he comes to a human being through two directions. He looks at your faith, how strong or how weak. So if you have a strong faith and you're a big and strong believer and you take things the rough way, he comes and obsesses you, telling you that, I washed my hands 3 times. I should have made it 5 times. Yes, what the heck? I'm a strong person. Let me do it 5 times. I performed the ablution, but why not perform it again and 3 times just to make sure that everything was washed and covered? After a while, he comes to you and say, why perform ablution for prayer? Why not take a full and total bath? And he comes on and on and on until a person is obsessed through his strength in taking this Islam. And this is not the right way, not the Islamic way of dealing with yourself. This is one part or one segment, one form of people. The other form are those who are easygoers. So he comes to them, the guy is performing ablution, and then says, did I miss this part? Nah, it's okay, I didn't miss it. I don't even have to look. So how many times do you want to perform ablution? I don't know. I performed ablution a couple of days ago. I think I didn't nullify my wudu till now. You went to bed. You said, yeah, but it's okay. It's not. You didn't urinate? You didn't pass stool? I don't remember. I don't recall. It's easy. It's Allah is forgiving. So he comes to the people either through the extremes or either through, you know, letting things go by in a very smooth and easy way. And the right thing for us to do is to follow the sunnah. You don't go to extremes, this is forbidden, because then you'll be extremist. And you don't leave things to be so easygoing, because then you would not perform the worship as Allah Azza wa Jalla has instructed you to do. Here, we have the same case. We have Satan coming to you. Now you're prostrating, you're praying to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he blows in one's bottom, just to give him the feeling that something came out. And nothing came out. It's just a feeling. It's just a doubt. And because of this doubt, he confuses your prayer. And the guy from the first rak'ah to the very end of prayer is confused. Did I pray once? Did I pray two? Did I have something? Did something go out or not? Then there's a problem. So he confuses you and he destroys your salah, destroys your contemplation, destroys your submissiveness before Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is exactly what he wants. And this is the role of shaitan. Yani, he has a great role to do, trying to distract you from going to paradise. And he's very good in doing this. My cameraman tells me we have to pause for a short break. So stay tuned and we will be right back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome back. Before the break, we talked about how Satan approaches us and he looks at how strong or weak our commitment and faith are. And this is the role of Satan, to whisper and to distract us from our target, which is paradise. And remember that he's doomed forever in hell. So he wants to have as many company as he can get. He would like to have as much as possible with him in hell. So try not to be one of those, inshallah. Shaitan or Satan, as we were told by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are different types of devils or Satans. There is one that his profession and he is concentrating on ablution. And this one is called Al-Walhan. His name, the Prophet told us, his name is al-walhan. His job is to come to you when you're performing ablution and telling you that, oops, you've missed something or you've added something. And he would like you to either go to the extremes of purifying and washing 6, 10, 11, 20 times, or that he tells you, oh, you've already done this. It's okay. Don't wash it that good. You don't have to do this. There's another Satan that is specialized in prayer. And this is called, anybody knows? Khinzab. His name is Khinzab. And he comes only in prayer. So if you are praying, he comes to you and starts reminding you of things. And okay, after you finish prayer, you have to go to the supermarket. Don't forget the tomatoes or you'll be beaten. Do this, bring that. He keeps on reminding you of things, whispering in your ears so that he would distract you from your prayer. There are certain devils, Satans, that are specialized in markets, souks, supermarkets. So whenever there's bargaining, they come in. And in markets, even in stock markets or whatever, a lot of people depend on the word of mouth, on their trust to others. So if someone says, Wallahi, I swear by God that I bought this for only 10 euros and he bought it for 5. But he's swearing and lying so that he would convince you to buy it for 11. So Satan is always there telling people to lie, telling people to deceit and deceive so that they would gain more and more and more, and he would gain customers in hell with him more and more and more. Yes, sir.
So how do we combat Satan concerning these obsessions and during prayer?
It's very easy. The process of combating him comes by relating your heart to Allah Azza wa Jal, depending entirely on Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, on your Lord. So when you come into prayer, you say, Allahu Akbar, as if you're holding something and throwing it behind your back. I'm throwing the whole world behind my back, and I contemplate in what I say. So when I say, all praise be to Allah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, the Merciful, and you start thinking of the Fatiha. The Fatiha, Allah, the Prophet of Allah tells us that Allah says, whenever you recite portions of it, Allah answers back. So when you say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Allah says, Hamadani Abdi. Allah talks to his angels. He tells them that my servant is praising me. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, he is describing me as merciful and kind and so on. Malik Yawmiddin, he is praising me by saying that I own the day of judgment. And if Allah owns the day of judgment, he owns this world, of course. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, that Allah says, this is between me and my slave. This is between me and my servant, because إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, we worship you. So this is for me, for Allah. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and we seek your help and support. And so this is for my servant and slave. And so on. If you stand before Allah Azza wa Jal in prayer and you recall this hadith, when you recite the Fatiha, you'll be completely transformed. It's a different prayer. Now, all of us, most of us, when they pray, they just want to get this 4 rak'ah off their chest. They just want to throw it. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. What did you do? I prayed. What did you benefit? Nothing. I'm not going to hell. That's it? Is this the only relation between you and your Lord? Not to go to hell? Where is love? Where is compassion? Where is respect? We, as Muslims, don't worship Allah just because we're afraid of His punishment, but because we love Him and we have hope in Him. And they have to go side by side. Fear of Allah and having hope and love to Allah Azza wa Jal. If you only worship Allah by fear, then it's like the wings of a bird. Fear of Allah is one wing, and the hope in Allah is the other, and the head of this bird is the love of Allah. So if you don't have love to Allah, you're not a Muslim. If you don't love Allah, you're not a Muslim. And you have to think about this not once or twice, every time. Lots of the boys and girls that I know would sit back and say, listen, I'm a Muslim. I worship Allah. And I pray. I do this not because I love Allah. I do this because I don't want to go to hell. So let's not talk about love. If he is truthful and sincere, he's not a Muslim. Any person that does not love Allah is not a Muslim. Okay, what is this punk saying? He's saying something that he did not think of. Because if you sit down and think, you will love Allah. But he is saying what he hears others say. So he repeats it like a parrot. Everyone loves Allah. Because look at what you do. You fast because you fear Allah Azza wa Jal. But you also fast because you have gratitude. When Allah grants you health, when Allah grants you wealth, when you have four limbs, you enjoy. When you have feet to walk on, when you consume three or four meals a day, and you never feel that you need to do this or that. You have every single thing. So you feel that you are privileged. You feel that Allah Azza wa Jal has granted you things that others were deprived of. You love Allah, but you may not have sat down and thought about it. Once you have this, the bird again, love is the head. No love, the bird is dead. If love is there, but you fear Allah more than you hope, then the bird will not fly straight. Because you will be always afraid and not hoping, not wishing Allah Azza wa Jal, to not feeling a trust in Allah that He will forgive your sins. And at the same time, if you have more hope and wishes than you have fear, this will encourage you to make sins. And then, again, your life would not be straight. So the best way to have contemplation, to have a full-fledged prayer that is accepted to Allah, by Allah Azza wa Jal, and to try to minimize the effect of Satan, is to try hard and to believe in Allah. Is this possible to have it 100%? It's very difficult because he runs in our bloods. He's with us all the time. So one cannot say, listen, we have a 100% Satan-free prayer. You cannot have it 100%. But you try. If you can have it 60%, 70%, then this is good enough with practice. Inshallah, you will be perfect. Again, there are Satans that are experts in souks. And markets. And there are Satans, devils, that their specialty is to apart the husband, the spouses. And this is why divorce takes place. These Satans come to the husband and say, your wife did this, your wife did that, your wife does not respect you, your wife does not obey you. So why are you keeping her? Ditch her and take someone else. And they come to the wife and say that your husband's going to remarry again. Your husband cheats on you. Your husband doesn't give you your rights. He doesn't spend on you. He's poor. He's ugly. He smells. He does this. He does that. So disputes take place. And you have lots of family feuds and fights among the wife and the husband. And then you have a broken family. Ties are broken, and you have divorce that takes place. So you have to be very careful. If you do not know your enemy, you lose the battle. Because if you go out of your house without knowing who your enemy is, you're going to lose. And that is why one of the supplication we are told to do when getting out of the house is Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Very, very easy. Bismillah. تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. It is very easy. The Prophet ﷺ says that when a Muslim says this supplication, two devils, two Satans, you know, take a side, and one tells the other, listen, we can't do anything to this man because he did the supplication. Why? Because there are two angels. Whenever he says this supplication, the angels say, Kufita, وَبُقِيتَ, which means you have enough and you are protected. Who is protecting him? The angels, by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the devils sit back and say, well, I don't think we have our day today. This guy is being protected by the angels. And the only way for you to be protected from the devil is by getting connected to Allah Azza wa Jal. You have to try your best to recite the Quran, to have the supplications of the morning and of the night. A lot of the Muslims don't know these supplications, don't know these adhkar that makes them connected with Allah Azza wa Jal throughout the whole day and night. And by this, by trying to stay in focus, by trying to say the supplications, Allah will protect you from the devils, from Satan's, and your life would improve. Now, lots of the problems we have are due to our departing from Islam, being distracted from the path of Islam. Why do we have problems with our wives? Why do we have problems with raising our kids? Those who are married, of course, not you guys. Why do we have problems with our neighbors, our subordinates, our bosses in work? Because we are distracted from the path of Islam. We're not treating people as Muslims. We're supposed to treat all people in a certain and particular manner, and we're not doing this. So the minute we're back on the track, we're back on the path of Islam, the minute we always remember that we are, as Muslims, should apply the Quran and Sunnah in every single detail of our lives, the minute we do this, the minute everything clears out and we have a clear vision, clear prayer, everything is accepted and we live the nice and happy life that we are promised as in the Holy Quran. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have for today's program. So until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.